Today, I think I told my grandson or somebody, I told us, I'm not going to be long, but sometimes you say you're not long, and I hope y'all brought lunch. But I don't think I'll be long before you today. But today I want to talk about the power that's in your mouth. When I say the power that's in your mouth, meaning that little piece of meat you got flapping behind that enamel fence is called the tongue. I know that bad and good, curses and good, can come from the tongue. But today I'm going to stress on the powerful goodness that we have, that our tongue can present just by speaking. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, starting at verse 18, and in the morning, he says, "Now in the morning, when he was returning to the city, he," meaning Jesus, "became hungry. And seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And said to it, 'No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you.' And at once the fig tree withered." And verse 20, "Seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, 'How did the fig tree wither all at once?' And verse 21, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen.'" Here in Matthew chapter 21, where Jesus was referring to speaking to a mountain, he was referring to speaking to those human obstacles and problems that we face. You know, there is something very interesting in Zechariah. He says something about mountains in the Amplified Bible. And Zechariah chapter 4, 6, and 7 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, of whom the all is a symbol. Lord says of hosts, for who are you, O great mountain of human obstacles?" It is obvious here that Jesus tied Zechariah was making reference to human obstacles when he referred to the mountains in Matthew 21:21. Human obstacles, mountains in our personal lives, like a mountain in your finances. It doesn't look like you are ever going to get out of debt. Every time when you're talking about finances, soon like you get something else caught up, you're just not making enough. And you pay that, something else is going lacking. It doesn't look like you're ever going to get out of debt. But maybe it's a mountain in your health. The doctor says has given up on you. He thought everything, every time you go, he speaks something negative, except for this morning in our testimony, praise the Lord. But he must be saying the right thing. You get a negative doctor's report telling you that you are not going to get any better. Most of the time you're praying about our mountains rather than speaking to our mountains. God's, please help me. We say all kinds of things. Please straighten these people out on my job. God, please take this fear away from me. It is good to pray. Very good to pray. It is good to ask God for help. But this is a mountain that is big. It is not enough to just pray. It is not enough to just believe. It is not enough to just have good thoughts. You have to speak to your mountain. In Matthew 11, he says, "Whoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed." It says, "Whoever say to this mountain." Whoever say to this mountain, "Be thou removed," and don't doubt in your heart, he will have whatever he saith. You know, all this is stemming from New Year's Eve. And we had a great long list of things that were mentioned. And they were like mountains in our lives. Linda prayed and Jesus to remove those things. But in addition to that, I want you to personally speak to that mountain. Those mountains in your life are not permanent. If you will just start speaking, if you'll just start talking, speaking to that mountain, you will discover one thing. You will discover that that mountain will be removed. You will say, you will discover that the chains have been broken. Chains that have bound you for forever, seems like. The sickness, the depression, in addition, just look at what is going on. It's going to change. You have prayed, you believe, you quoted scripture. That's all good, very good. But if you are not going to see that mountain move, you have got to start talking to it. When you speak words of faith, something happens in the unseen realm. Chains are broken and forces of darkness are defeated. And let me tell you that now this, I know about all this stuff going on. It so happened, my sister was talking about her finances. About 13 months ago, I had a total knee replacement. And you all know that. But about a week or so prior to that, I had a seizure. And I don't know if I mentioned it one time before, but when I had the seizure, well, let me go back to the very to that part. I belong to VA. I go to VA hospital for all my medical needs. But this particular time when I had the seizure, Linda had this great idea. She's smart, looking out for my health. I went to Memorial Regional. And I was there for, and they tried to ask me, oh, what's wrong? What's going on? What happened? You know, they tried to talk to me. I said, you better talk to my wife, because she said I passed out. I don't remember what happened. Every time I try to make some sense and open my eyes and try to figure out where I am, she knocked me back out. She just smacked me all up in the face. So I said, if anything, I don't remember nothing. All I remember, no, I tried to wake up. I got knocked out again. So anything, you have to ask her. So I was there maybe about a day and a half, I believe, and had all sorts of tests and all these things they were running. And when they did that, and I finally decided to let me go home. And I went home, and I got this real mountain of a bill for a day and a half. I couldn't believe it. And I said, wow, what in the world? How am I going to pay this? But see, VA had sent me a letter prior to that, that if I let them know within 24 hours, I can go to any other hospital that I want, and they will treat me, but I will have to call them within 24-hour period. So did that. I had the number with, and Linda called them. And then I got a letter, says, you didn't qualify. I said, qualify? I'm sick. Anyway, they denied all payment of that hospital bill. And man, I got... And the thing about it, I got seven different bills from seven different things. And so out of the $16,000, that's the big bill, I called them and had a hardship or whatever. Linda told me to call them, and we did that. And I still had a balance of about maybe $4,500 to pay. I said, wow, that's better than $16,000. So... anyway, I got to start getting them. Seems like every other day I get a bill, okay? I call this one and make plans to pay them a certain amount. Call this one, make sure I make plans to pay them. And I thought I had all of them done. And then I got this last one. This has been about maybe I already started, beginning to pay. And then I got this other one from this other, from all the physicians coming from another state. But I guess they're wherever they were from another state, but it was from the same hospital. And I said, where in the world did this one come from? And I think that of all the hospital bills I got, it was about seven of them. This one bothered me the most. And anyway, I started making my monthly payments and on each one of them after I called them and made arrangements. And this particular one, and I just happened, and as I happened to pay, this one was due the first of the month. And this was, I got it. I said, well, Linda, by the time I mail it, it's going to be too late. You know, they're going to charge you or send me some late charge or whatever they do. Anyway, I told her, I said, well, I'm going to call them and take the payment over the phone. So I called them, gave them all the information as to who I was and everything. But one thing I said before I called them, I guess I got in touch with them maybe a day after, I said, you know, this bill is paid. Of all of them, I said, this bill is paid. That one made me hot because it came after everything else. And so I called them, and I said, well, I'd like to pay all my bill. And so he said, well, I gave him my social security number, gave him the hospital, the identification number. He said, Mr. Martin? I said, yes. He says, your bill has been paid. He said it was paid by the 31st of December. I said, yeah? And then I said, are you sure this is the right place I'm calling? I gave my account number all over again. He says, yes. And says, a matter of fact, that last bill that you paid, you're going to receive a check for that. So I couldn't wait. I didn't tell Linda right away. I waited. I'd already talked to him. I think I'd had to tell her, but I knew it was God. He said, God, what did I do different? And then I told her that the bill was paid. And then I tell you, I could have cried. Like my brother said, we're the weeping prophets. We cried anything. I said, Lord, this is good. And the thing was that, what did I do? I said that this mountain of this bill was paid. Had no idea that what I was saying, and God brought all this stuff back. But I say, you know, anything that you are confronted with, he is teaching us now to speak to that mountain and be thy removed. Don't just pray about it. Don't just consider it. Don't just wonder about it. He says, pray to that thing. He says, and speak to that mountain, and he shall take care of it. It shall be removed. See, we see this principle from the very beginning in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2. It says, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. In other words, it was dark, it was gloomy, it was chaotic, it was trouble everywhere. Did you notice, even though God's presence was there, things didn't change? Nothing can change until God said. When God said in the beginning of verse 3, things didn't get better just because God was there. Things don't get better just because the darkness wasn't going to change anything until God said, let there be light, and glory to God, there was light. From Genesis chapter 4 to Genesis verse 4 to Genesis verse 26, all the things, each thing was could be considered a mountain in your life. But all those things, nothing changed until God said, and he spoke to that mountain, and it was removed. The same thing with our lives. We have to start talking on about the mountain, try and agree with what we see, and speak to that mountain, and let God handle it. The word let indicates that something was opposing it. When he says, let there be light, he says, let first. It says that, let go of my hands. It means that either I'm letting it go, I'm holding something with my hand, or I'm opposing it. Or, so God said, in the middle of this, in the middle of opposition, God says, let there be light. There was this tension and strife in your home. You need to say, let there be peace in my home. In the middle of financial crisis, look like I'm not going to get and have enough. And it seemed like that more than enough, until you learn the principles of God, learn the power that God has put in your mouth, learn not to use it negatively, but learn to use it positively and speak to those mountains, and they will be removed. He says, let there be abundance in my finances. When it comes to your health, it doesn't look good. Say, let there be health, strength, and renewed vitality in my body. I don't care what the mountain is in your life. Do like God did in the very beginning. He spoke to that mountain. Even at that, when you're talking about health, I had a full knee replacement at exactly 13 months ago. And it gave me trouble almost constantly. It's a lot better than what it was, but it gives me trouble constantly. And sometimes the lens say, you had your pill today? I said, today I just try not to fool with those pain pills as much. But it had become aggravating. You get something that hurt, you can deal with it, but it's aggravating when every day, every turn, every time you make a move, all of a sudden it hurt a little bit worse than it did before, and then it calmed down. But it's aggravating. It's frustrating. You can't get nothing done. I go to do stuff that I normally do. I said, so what I did here recently, when I begin to understand the word of God, you know, those iron parts that they put in, they're in my body. And when they're in your body, they're going to have to be subject to what my body does. Those nerves that have the ending, those muscles that have to go around and connect, it's not the iron that they put in that's hurting. It's the nerves, it's the muscles that's trying to reconnect themselves. So I spoke life to these bones, to these iron parts. I said, these nerves are going to end and go over like they're supposed to. This muscle's going to attach and strengthen like it's supposed to. And I said, pain, you got to go. Because it was aggravating me. And I'm looking forward to it going. You know, we spoke of the finances. The fig tree. Now, Mark had a different account. Mark 11, starting at chapter 11. See, his was a little bit different than Matthew. Matthew said he looked right then and the fig tree began to wither up. So they said, well, what about this other account? It says, Mark 11:11 says, Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple. And after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. Verse 12. On the next day, when he had left Bethany, he became hungry, seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf. He went to it to see, perhaps, if he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, may on no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening. Verse 19, when evening came, they would go out of the city. Verse 20, as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered up from the root. Verse 21, being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you curse was withered. Verse 22, and Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Verse 23, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted them. Now the first account, the disciples said it withered right away in Matthew. This one says, when Jesus cursed the tree and they left, nothing happened right then. But when they're on the way back, they noticed that it was withered up. And I said, now, it's the same thing. But sometimes when you speak to that mountain, things may not happen at once. And just because it's not happening, God doesn't mean that God is working at the root of that problem. See, not all the time things are going to happen instantly. With that finances, that was an instantaneous thing. With my knee, I believe in and spoke to that mountain, but God is healing it from the root. And so if things don't happen right away, don't mean that God is not working. Remember when Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side, it was a bad storm, the winds were raging, the waves were just contrary, and everybody on board thought they were going to drown. And Jesus said, got up, and he spoke to the winds, he spoke to the waves, he says, peace, be still. Now, what manner of man is this? Can speak to the wind and speak to the waves, and they will obey. God says, he's given us that same power. He said, that tongue that you have, instead of using it against and using it to curse, he says, use it to move mountains out of your way. He says, speak to that situation, and it'll happen. Remember David and Goliath? Now, David was confronted with this mountain of man. He was a huge, David was a 17-year-old boy. And he said, you uncircumcised, see, David spoke to his problem. He spoke to him. He said, you uncircumcised Philistine, that you should defy the armies of the living God. He spoke to that mountain, and the mountain was removed. You know, Goliath was defeated. All he did was speak faith. He speaks what God says. He says, speak to that mountain, and it shall be done. When you are facing difficulties, don't start complaining. Don't start talking defeat so many times. And, you know, it's such an easy thing to get into. You know, we pray, Lord, help me with this. And out of the very next sentence, this thing is just giving me a fit. I don't think I'm going to ever get out of this pain. I don't think I'm going to ever get out of this trouble. Oh, Lord, my back hurts so bad. And you've been praying for it, and you're asking God to heal it. And you say, God, by your stripes, I'm healed. And then again, you say, oh, Lord, will you please remove this thing? I can barely function. And we, out of sometimes not thinking, we speak and talk defeat on the very thing we're asking God to fix. And it's not a hard thing to do. We get in a habit of listening to the physical and being obedient to the physical first, and then we start talking about the supernatural. When you're facing difficulties, don't start complaining. Don't start talking defeat, saying it is not fair. I worked very hard. I deserve this raise. No, start talking favor. God, I'm here. I'm doing everything that God told me to do and said, I'm speaking God's favor. I'm not working for this company. God, you say you'll give the increase. I'm working for you. You allowed me to have this job. I don't care what they say. I'm going to be obedient to my whoever's in leading, my leadership. I'm going to be responsible for doing what I need to do. I'm going to come to work on time. I'm going to talk nice and just be that. But God, you got to do something here. Because people coming in, came in yesterday taking my job, my position away. I've been here doing everything that you told me to do. And God says, you know, don't worry about it. Keep on working. I have a better job for you. It may not be there, but see, he is working on the roots. When you start facing difficulties, don't start complaining. You know, you're talking about situations saying, Lord, thank you for the increase. Lord, I bless you. Even though you may not see it, you know you don't see it, but I thank you for the increase. And you know, and to really make it really, sometimes you have to act out. My bank account is, Lord, is zero. I got bills and coming in every day. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to fill this deposit slip out, and I'm going to put a nice number on it. And Lord, I will have it ready to make my deposit. Lord, I thank you for the increase. I mean, just put it there. Look at it. Put it on your checkbook. It's simple, but I said, God, take the foolish things in this world to compound the wise. But Lord, here, just I got this nice amount on here, and I'm going to put it into my checkbook, and every time I open my checkbook out to write a bill, that money is not there, real low. But Lord, I thank you for my increase. And don't go writing no check in mail until God give it to you. Don't tempt the Lord, that guy. He won't take anything illegal. He does things using legal means. Lord, I'm believing you for my increase. Thank you for it. And you watch and see what happens. See, this is a new year. There's nothing more powerful that you can but by declaring victory over your life. By declaring victory over your life, remember those mountains are going to respond to your. Why? They respond to God. God set it up for the mountains to respond, those situations, obstacles to respond to your voice. Nobody else can pray nothing out of your way. I can sit here and say, oh, what's your name, dear? Sonia? I'm going to use Sonia. Sonia, you say you got this mountain in your way, baby. I'm going to pray hard right now for God to move that mountain out of your way. Don't you know that mountain ain't going nowhere? God says for you to speak to that mountain. And it shall be moved. Things that you want in your life, things that you're desiring right now. I'm telling you, even take this word to truth. You speak to that thing and see won't God respond. The unseen world will respond to what God has given you the power to do. When you start doing what God wants you to do, guess what happened? God will return that. He will turn that mountain into a molehill. When you accomplish everything that God wants you to accomplish, oh Lord, this is a good year for us. And I'm looking forward to accomplishing everything that God has for us to accomplish. And we're going to see what God's going to do. You know, I said, try God. And I have three things I had. I don't know. Oh, you okay. Girl, you good. I like that. The first one, these are just three keys to help us receive from God. First of all, repent of all negative communication. The Apostle Paul said, without repentance, there can be no faith toward God. In the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 21, if you have been allowing Satan to use your tongue to speak words of doubt, sickness, failure, reflection, rejection, destruction, you need to first ask God to forgive you. Some people come to God to give him their families, businesses, money, body, possessions, but they stop at the tongue and say, that's mine. But you know, don't talk defeat. Repent to God for all your negative responses. Lord, I thought, you were going to help me, but you know how we do. We talk negative. Lord, I thought you were going to heal me, but I still got this thing, and I pray unto you, and I believe in you, but ain't nothing happened. Don't stop there. God, you say, by his stripes you are healed. Guess what? By his stripes you are healed. I don't care what you need to be healed of. He bore a stripe on the cross to cover everything that you could ever have wrong with your body. And what do I have next? Recognizing your need for supernatural help. No man is a mountain unto himself. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and the things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly, evil, full of deadly poison, wherewith blessed be of God, even the Father, and therewith cursed we men. We are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brother, these things ought not to be. That's in James 3, chapters, verses 7 through 10. Jesus did not tell us to tame our tongue. He didn't tell only half brother James to tell us to tame our tongue. Jesus and James are not contradicting one another. James is telling us that we cannot tame the tongue, and Jesus has instructed without supernatural assistance. He is telling us to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to tame the tongue. We cannot do it alone. James himself said, if we need wisdom, we need wisdom to help in a situation, we could ask the Holy Spirit who would give it to us freely. It says, if any man lack wisdom, James 1 and 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And the third one I says, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. Most people do not even pay attention to what they are saying. That's the part that's important. You know, we talked about repent from negative communications, and we recognize your need for spiritual assistance, for spiritual help. But we need to pay attention. When I says pay attention, pay attention, pay attention, it's so easy to talk defeat. We do it so, it's almost like a natural thing that we do. We always have to talk encouragement. You know, we don't just ramble on and do things and say things, and we just can't do it. I guess we used to call it a loose tongue when it comes to speaking positively, speaking good. I hear it all the time, and from even family members. You know, you tell them, but you get a little age, you get so accustomed to speaking the same way. It's hard to change. That's why I say it's hard to change older people. They're so set in their ways, so set in their ideas, and so set in their mind. And you're talking about changing of speech and changing the way they think about themselves. You know, every time you see that, I'm so sick. Oh, I'm not, my legs, I can't walk. It might be true. But it's always the negative talk about it. oh, nobody ever come by to visit me. I don't get company. And you look and you just saw cars go in, it was no more than the nurse. Somebody came to visit. It could be the therapist. I saw them there. They don't ever come here. They don't do that they're supposed to do. I don't care. They were there. You have somebody to talk to. But don't talk negative all the time. And it's so easy to get in a frame of mind and just automatically. So pay attention to what you're saying. Pay attention to how you say it. And if you can't say everything to everybody, you know, try to. I get phone calls. And I knew that my response before I even asked. And it's a bad response. It's a maybe I don't get sense of not to ask them anymore. And I think I stopped. And that is, how you doing? That's a loaded question. Every day, how you doing? Y'all don't know the response that I get. And understand that when you go and you talk, and it's hard, if it's hard for us, a person that's been doing it for year in and year out, you can imagine it's real difficult for them. So we have to ask, I pray to God for extra, so God touch them extra much, that they will start, take some of the stuff and let it sink in so they can start speaking positively instead of negatively all the time. And see, this thing started long time. I'm through, y'all. I'm born, y'all. Somebody snoring. I heard them snoring. But